The scriptures taken from Genesis 1, verses 1 to 31. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed and morning came, marking the first day. Then God said, "Let there be space between the waters to separate the waters of heaven from the waters of the earth." And that is what happened. God made this space to separate the waters of the earth from the waters of heaven. And God called the space sky. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters beneath the sky flow together into one place, so dry ground may appear." And that is what happened. And God called the dry ground land, and the waters seas. And God saw it was good. And then God said, "Let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant and trees that grow. These seeds will produce the kind of plants and trees from which they came." And that is what happened. The land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed-bearing plants and trees with seed-bearing fruit. Their seeds produced plants and trees of the same kind, and God saw that it was good. The evening passed, and morning came, marking the third day. Then God said, "Let lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them be signs to mark the seasons, days, and years. Let these lights in the sky shine down on the earth." And that is what happened. God made two great lights, the larger one to govern the day and the smaller one to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set these lights in the sky to light the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And evening passed, and the morning came, marking the fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters swarm with fish and other life. Let the skies be filled with birds of every kind." So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that scurries and swarms in the water, and every sort of bird, each producing offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply. Let the fish fill the seas, let the birds multiply on the earth." And evening passed, and morning came, marking the fifth day. And then God said, "Let the earth produce every sort of animal, each producing offspring of the same kind. Livestock, small animals that scurry along the ground, and wild animals." And that is what happened. God made all sorts of wild animals, livestock, and small animals, each able to produce offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry around the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." And then God said, "Look, I've given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. And I have given every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, and the small animals that scurry along the ground, everything that has life." And that is what happened. Then God looked over all he'd made, and he saw it was very good. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the sixth day. So the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation.
Thank you, Anne. Thank you very much. It's always good. I've only got 3 pages, she had 4, so don't worry. For me, it's always good to read. I must have read Genesis more times than I've read any other book in the Bible. Serious. I mean, I went to see the Ten Commandments 10 times when I was a boy. I can't get enough of it. I just read it and read it and read it. So apologies, but I just felt that it was worth just reading it all. I can't explain it all. I haven't got time, and I haven't got the knowledge or the understanding. So little time, so lots. So a lot to say. So I hope what I say, and please forgive me if it sounds a bit like a science class at times. We know that in our world there are many who believe in evolution. The theory that once upon a time there was a Big Bang, and then over time mankind was formed. You know, this idea that this little amoeba, when it became an amoeba, suddenly decided to come out of water and get onto dry land and it became something else. It's just incredible, really. They must have a lot of faith in evolution, so I can say. Long before mankind thought like that, 6,000 years ago maybe, more than that, I can't remember, I don't know exactly, there were writings on scrolls, weren't there not, that spoke about this, that Anne's just read out from her Bible. Creation is a theory as well. See, we can't go back to the beginning. We can't go back to the beginning with God. So we have to take and test it out scientifically as such. So we have to take the idea that they're both theories, evolution and creation. Both beliefs, in a sense. In that sense, they're both religions. People that are evolutionists, it's their religion. For the last 166 years, the Antichrist, this is my terminology, but it is, has been using evolution to discredit creationism. It's so much so that it's taught in our schools, shown on our televisions, appears on our phones, laptops, computers. It's everywhere, the talk of evolution, by well-meaning people, but convincing the majority of the world that their way is correct. It's everywhere. It invades the minds of everyone. It's no wonder that spiritual warfare is mostly a battle of the mind, because we're inundated with it, and we have to work out what we believe. Do we believe the Bible? I mean, do we really believe everything in the Bible? Do we believe it as a source? Personally, I believe in Genesis. If I didn't, I don't know how I could believe in Revelation or every other book in the Bible. And I've had many discussions with Christian friends over the years, and many of them tell me that evolution's okay. You can see evolution in God's creation. So in that way, they can agree with themselves and scientists that the earth is very old. Well, I don't think it is. I don't believe it is. I don't know how you believe or where you stand on it, but I don't believe it. It's not as well known, but if you look in the right places or whatever, I don't know, you might find that up to a third of all scientists in the world believe in God's creation. They believe in God, our creator. In fact, an intelligent design or whatever. They might not say the word God, but they believe that something more than evolution is where we've got to this day. They say the earth, the people who have scientifically studied and thought out the theory of creation from a scientific point of view as well, they say the earth is not that old. If you believe in one thing, the flood happened. If the flood happened, and you look at the science behind the flood and where rock formations can be attributed to the flood, it solves the problem of it not being millions of years, but thousands. An intelligent designer is what they say. The Bible talks extensively about creation. So there must be a creator, right? We all agree on that. We all say, yes, there is a creator. And we said, Ruth said the other week, and it reminded me when I was thinking of this, it's like looking at your watch. You know that somebody made your watch. And that's what we do. We look at our world. We look at how much creative life there is. And we must say there is a creator, an intelligent designer. Although, you'd be surprised, when will we know? Two-thirds or however many people there are that call themselves evolution scientists don't think that way. Okay. I'd like to tell you two things that are amazing to me in God's creation. And one is the Arctic tern, a little bird. The reason I'm telling you this is because the conversations I've had with my own earthly father are not very many, really, over the lifetime that I knew him. In my lifetime, I knew him. I knew him from being born, but I didn't know him as a father. You know, he didn't live at home. And he was a scientist. He was a maths and physics school teacher, among other things. But scientifically, as far as I know, he'd never believed in Jesus or given his life to Jesus or done any of that. But he believed in creation. He believed in a design, a world, that the world was made. And he was really adamant about it. And I can remember him telling me about this Arctic tern, which I'd forgotten and then looked it up. The Arctic tern is a little bird. It weighs 3 to 4 ounces. It has the longest migratory flight of anything known to man. Far more than the albatross. It flies, as we know, from the Arctic to the Antarctic. It goes from when it gets cold in the Arctic, it flies south. It doesn't fly straight. It flies all over the place. And while it's flying, because it's gliding a lot of the time, it uses the currents of the air, it's going perhaps 44 and 55,000 miles, going there and then coming back again. This little bird. And it does it by sleeping on the wing. It can sleep in the air. It can eat in the air. It just does everything as it's flying on, catching flies and doing all that. It's just a little bird. 3 to 4 ounces. Just a little bird. I think it's marvellous. The other thing I know about that I've found out is the monarch butterfly. The monarch butterfly has a migratory route from Canada down to Mexico. I mean, they come here as well, but the main one is they go down 1,400 miles. But the wonderful thing about the monarch butterfly is that for 3 or 4 generations, all they do is live out 2 to 6 weeks' life. That's it. The monarch butterfly, 2 to 6 weeks lifespan. And they produce. That's all they're made to do, to just create the next generation. And then along comes what they call, the scientists call, the super generation. And this monarch butterfly flies from Canada to Mexico so it can reproduce down there and come back again and do whatever. And that super generational mammoth butterfly lives for between 6 and 9 months. And then after that one's had its life, the next generation, it's the same old routine. 2 to 3 weeks, 2 to 4 weeks, whatever. I mean, you can't get that out of evolution. Surely you can't. It's got to be God's wonderful hand. Mind-blowing. Creation is. We all might have examples of our Father in heaven, a creator of all things. So please, over tea and coffee, but after the business part of the day, share your examples if you know things. I've got a load of ideas, of other things in life that just blow your mind. The human body blows your mind when you think of all the intricate parts of your body and what makes up the eyes and the ears, well, everything. Even every living cell that's in a body has so many components. If it didn't have all them components, you wouldn't have a living cell, it would be dead. And that's the same for plant life, and it's the same for bacterial life. They all have little things inside their living cell that create their life. I don't think it comes from evolution at all. The human body is a wonderful thing. And then we look at the heavens, where our God lives, creator of all this little earth, and we look at the heavens and we think, you're the creator. Well, I don't know about you, but the universe is beyond my understanding. So we're going to have another reading now from an oldest book in the Bible. John's going to come out and read the book of John. The book of Job. Sorry, not all of it. Job chapter 38, verses 1 to 11.
Then the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind, "Who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words? Brace yourself like a man, because I have some questions for you, and you must answer them. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you know so much, who determined its dimensions and stretched out the surveying line? What supports its foundations, and who laid its cornerstone? As the morning stars sang together, and all the angels shouted for joy, who kept the sea inside its boundaries as it burst from the womb, and as I closed it with clouds and wrapped it in thick darkness? For I locked it behind the barred gates, limiting its shores. I said, this far and no farther will you come. Here your proud waves must stop."
John. The oldest book in the Bible. Job was before Abraham and all of that. And God reminds us in there that God was around before anyone. That God is the creator and we are his creatures. We are creatures. I'm so pleased for that hymn that you chose about us being creatures. That's what we are. We're creatures of God. We're not creators. We're creatures. We can create things. Or maybe we don't create them. Maybe we manufacture them. Maybe we just make them up from what God has created in us. Job does his best, eventually rewarded. But creation's not about us. And it's not about him. Creation always points, really, when people will be humble enough to look at it, to him, to God, to God our creator. So, Christine, if you could come and read from the Psalms, please. There are many Psalms that speak of God's creation. In reading them, we get an idea of who God is, where he lives, and how he looks at us.
Psalm 104, verse 1 to 9 from the New Living Translation. Let all that I... Can you hear me? Sorry. Yeah. Let all that I am praise the Lord. O Lord my God, how great you are. You are robed with honour and majesty. You are dressed in a robe of light. You stretch out the starry curtain of the heavens. You lay out the rafters of your home in the rain clouds. You make the clouds your chariot. You ride upon the wings of the wings of the wind. The winds are your messengers. Flames of fire are your servants. You place the world on its foundations so it would never be moved. You clothed the earth with floods of water that covered even the mountains. At your command, the water fled. At the sound of your thunder, it hurried away. Mountains rose and valleys sank to the levels you decreed. Then you set a firm boundary for the seas so they would never again cover the earth. That was Psalm 104, 1 to 9.
Thank you very much. I felt that I should just let the scriptures tell me all the story, and there are more. You know there are scriptures all over the Bible that talk of God, our Creator, in creation. It's just if we can humble ourselves and admit that we're only made of dust. And that's what will happen to us sooner or later. We'll return to being dust. We'll begin to get an idea of how vast and wide and deep is the love of the Creator God. So let me just finish with one final statistic that will blow your mind. Well, it might not. The sun is 93 million miles away from Earth. 93 million miles away. I want you to imagine for a minute that that distance is only the width of a piece of paper from your Bible. That's 93 million miles. Is that, that's the distance there. To measure the distance to the end of our galaxy, just our galaxy, not all the universes, just our galaxy, the Milky Way, our Bibles would be stacked up to 216 miles high. That's how far out it is. That's how way beyond our understanding. I think it's fantastic. I can't believe it either. I can see you think, God, can't be that. I just can't believe it. But that's what scientists say. That's how far it is to the end of the Milky Way. And here's the other statistic to it. The Milky Way is one of the biggest galaxies, yes. But it's also one in 100 billion galaxies that make up God's home, the universe, his eternity. I don't know how I can even get to thinking like that. All I know is God is supreme. There are three of them: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Before they created the heavens and the earth, they were perfectly fine with each other. They had each other. They didn't need anybody else to entertain themselves. There was the three of them having fellowship with each other. God chose to create the heavens and the earth to provide a place for us, to show off his glory. But he provided a place for us, this tiny little earth, this speck in the middle of the universe. The universe, in the middle of all the galaxies. We have the choice as well. Because God had a choice. He didn't, you know what I mean? It was his choice. He chose to create the heavens and the earth. We have a choice of free will. We can follow him. We can obey him. We can enjoy a relationship with him. We all know that. We can look after this planet Earth for him. Remember, he put us in charge. We are his children. He is our Father in heaven, our Creator. God is the Creator of everything that exists. I'm just going to find these little things if I can. I'm going to finish with three scriptures, the short ones. Colossians 1, verse 16. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Another verse, there's hundreds, you know there is. Revelation 4, verse 11. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. And then finally, Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6. You are the Lord, you alone. You have made heaven the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. And you preserve all of them, and the host of heavens worships you. So we're just joining the hosts of heaven in worshipping God, the Creator. I just pray to close. So much is written, Father God, of what you are and who you are and how you came to create all of this. And we have your Bible to believe in. Help us to believe even the unbelievable. Help us to go beyond and stretch our minds and in just wonder and humble ourselves and be lost in it, creating us that desire to be able to say, well, we don't know half of anything, but we will put our trust in you. I ask, Father God, that you would put your trust in each and every one of us as we reflect and go away and look at our Bibles and think about things and find out things, perhaps. But we will just reflect on how vast and wide and deep and big is the kingdom of God, your heavens, and how worthy you are to be magnified, to be worshipped, to be adored. And we have that great knowledge, that wonderful, happy thought, that saving thing, that one day we will be with you. One day we will be in that heaven of heavens. And in the meantime, we declare, O Lord, that you are our God, and we worship you. Amen.